It's our Wide Open Road, the Rosie on the House Arizona Hour with Sanderson Ford.
Wide Open Road and Wide Open Topics.
That's right. Talking electricity. Very, very fortunate this morning to have an electrical expert in, Mr. Jacob Tetlow, Vice President of Transmission and Distribution of Power for APS and new title, Director of Paleontological Resources.
Can you spell that for my new business card?
You need a bigger card.
It all starts with fossilized tree resin. It all starts with fossilized tree resin. I guess it starts sometime before that because it existed. That was just the first evidence of him seeing it.
Yeah. Or realizing it was something.
This gets complicated. Electricity, it's complicated. It's amazing how safe it is to think it's in everyone's home, surging through the lines. But we start in 1886.
That's right.
Phoenix Illumination Company. We're going to put a few street lights up, let people get enamored by that, and figure, well, I'd like to replace my kerosene lamp with one of those bulbs, so can you get some electricity to my house? And we do it knob and tube, two wires through the attic. I still have homes in the historic district that are knob and tube.
Wow.
No ground wire, okay? So why did we add that third little prong?
It makes it safer. It's a better system. You can have go between two phases, but you really want that ground circuit in there. And it also allows you to do the GFCIs that we talk a lot about, ground fault current interrupters.
They became code in, the 70s.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
And then we've got cycles we can talk about. And then the Europeans have like a whole other flavor of electricity.
They did.
What do they do?
They do it a little different than we do. We call our system a 60 hertz system, meaning that we're running like all that AC power coming to your house. I always tell people the light bulb's actually flickering in your house. You just can't tell it because it's flickering 60 times a second. Some people will tell you when they go to Europe, they can almost see the light bulbs flickering because they're only flickering at 50 times a second. So they run a 50 hertz system. We run a 60 hertz system.
And then you can have electricity that's AC, or you got to come back, or DC. I mean, and then you're generating exactly what we need for me to listen to my stereo and Mimi to toast her bagel in Sun City.
That's right. When you turn the toaster on, we add a little gas to the pedal, and when the toaster's done toasting the bagel, we got to back it off a little bit.
I paint this picture for people. Think of electricity as the water in a river, and we're going to take it and send it down a canal. Let's call it the Central Arizona Project, okay? And people are siphoning off this water as they need it along this 380-mile-long canal. I need a little electricity here. I need a little water here. But when that water reaches the end of the line at Tucson, we just pump it back into the ground well.
That's right.
So what do you do with the electricity? It hits the end of the line. Nobody's used it.
So we don't really have that option to pump it back into anything. We could put, we are working on some battery systems that we're excited about, and that does give you the ability to store it. But our system isn't built with a large quantity of batteries. And so what you really end up doing is you end up adjusting how much power you're making. So when that light is flickering 60 times a second, if there's a whole bunch of, if everybody started their air conditioners, you wouldn't notice it, but it would go down to 59.9 times a second. And so at that point in time, we would then add some more fuel sources to the energy mix, and we would make more electricity. And then when it starts to go, then everybody's air conditioner's turned off, and it went to 60.1 cycles a second, we would then slow down some of our generators. So we literally sit there, and we try to adjust our generation fleet and all the energy sources that are connecting to Phoenix. We adjust it based on what the demand is at that moment in time.
And then a storm hits.
And then a storm hits.
And then somebody doesn't have electricity and they want it back. What happens on your end when that happens?
So much like the complication of making electricity, there's a lot of work that goes into getting the lights back on. We spend all year preparing for monsoon seasons. We go out and we put in storm-hardened poles, and we do things to feed the system in multiple paths. So sometimes, you can lose a pole, but it doesn't mean you have to go into the dark. So we spend a lot of time preparing for the summer run. But when the storm gets here, we have what we call incident command. And we fire up a whole bunch of employees. And we got a lot of great employees at APS that will get up out of their beds at 2 o'clock in the morning. And they'll leave their family to get out there and brave the weather and climb those poles and work in what are very hazardous conditions. as needed to get the lights back on for our customers. And, you know, Monday night, Sunday night, we had hundreds of employees out there working in bucket trucks, stringing up new wires, putting in new poles, and getting the system rebuilt as quickly as possible to safely get the lights back on for our customers.
There's so much we haven't talked about. Jacob, you're going to have to come back. We're out of time.
All right. Well, I'm here. I'm ready.
Jacob Tetlow, Vice President of Transmission and Distribution. Just a completely intriguing job description. Transmission and distribution of nothing you can see. Y'all stay tuned. We're coming down to earth and getting up in the trees with John Eisenhower from Integrity Tree Service. We call the 8 o'clock hour with John Eisenhower the unstumpable hour. You can't stump us.